Listen to today's Ross Report for the most recent comings and goings. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Ross Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, May 19th, here at Gillette Stadium. We're joined by Patriots Four Weeklies, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. They're going to tell you all about what's been going on at the Patriots roster, including a goodbye to Doug Flutie.
Thanks, Lori, and welcome to another Patriots podcast here on Patriots.com. This week's edition of the Roster Report, obviously without Brian Lowe's professionalism, Paul Perillo and Andy Hart will take you through. Not a whole lot of transactions to talk about, but coming off the rookie minicamp last week, there are some additions to the roster. A couple of guys that were here on a tryout basis, Andy, last week, running back Patrick Cobbs and wide receiver Jakari Wallace were officially signed to the roster, while a safety, Sam Smith, out of Delaware State, was let go. But before we get to those, we'll talk probably the biggest news is the official retirement of Doug Flutie from the Patriots, leaving potentially a hole at the number two spot behind Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I think we all saw coming, and it was basically a situation where I think Doug was trying to get everything in his future lined up in his deal with ESPN and ABC and TV. You know, I think the Patriots were kind of aware and moving forward and had planned for this, but obviously in New England, it's even bigger news than it might be elsewhere. I think you saw that with Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft taking part in his press conference announcing the retirement. I mean, this guy is a local legend from his days in high school on through Boston College and the Hail Mary, and I know some people have kind of included last year's drop kick in the whole legend of Doug Flutie, but I think that actually minimizes, you know, whether love him, hate him, whatever it is, he was a great player at a lot of levels. You know, even succeeded in the NFL when many people believed he didn't even belong in the league. So, you know, he was a very productive player at a lot of different levels of football.
Yeah, I agree with you in your assessment that the Patriots probably were well aware of Doug's intentions, and I think the last indication of that would have been at the draft when Bill talked about, you know, you talked to Doug about this and talked to, I think it was pretty clear that they had felt that the time had come and passed that Flutie was going to be an active member of the roster. But now the question is, and we've talked about this a little bit in previous weeks, we have Matt Cassel, we know that. Corey Bramlett was here as the lone quarterback. He is an undrafted free agent out of Wyoming. He actually, Andy, and you weren't here over the weekend, but he actually showed a pretty good arm. I thought he struggled a little bit on Saturday, was much sharper on Sunday from what I understand. I watched the Saturday, but he did throw the ball reasonably well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him here throughout the summer. Long odds, however, to make the roster with Matt Cassel and Bramlett. Now you have two kind of developmental guys, Todd Mortensen also on the roster. You expect there to be a veteran of some sort coming in to maybe take the reins of that backup spot.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, there's always seems to have been that veteran guy, even if he was brought in at the later in the offseason, like this will be the case, whether it's a Doug Flutie, a Jim Miller, a Damon Heward, somebody there to bring some veteran presence to that. And even if it's in the role Flutie kind of had as more of a meetings and instructor, and that's why the guy I keep pointing to is Jay Fiedler. And I know, you know, there were some quotes recently that he began throwing, and his agent talked about how he'd always, you know, had a respect for Bill Belichick and enjoyed playing against Bill Belichick's defenses when with the Dolphins and the whole chess game. And I think he's a guy that would fit that role especially because he is a very intelligent kind of passer and would fit in well here in terms of that. And he seems to, as we talked about last week, I think it was, come to the realization that his days as a starter are probably over, and this is now his role, is to be a number two somewhere, 2-3, and have the chance to play if injuries come up. He kind of missed out on that opportunity last year when he was injured himself.
Well, we're sitting here a little bit more than a month away from the full squad mandatory minicamp that will take place in June. I believe it's June 13th and 14th. I would expect the Patriots to, if they're planning on making a move, to do so before then. I think it would probably be important to get a Jay Fiedler or whoever they decide in here, get him immersed in the system as soon as possible, and have him take part in that minicamp. Do you think that's important?
I would agree. The sooner the better you get him in here to learn the playbook. And as I said, Fiedler's a guy, he's been around, has some experience, probably would take to it quicker than some people. Other names that are out there are Jeff Blake and Kerry Collins. I think the difference, especially with Collins, is a lot of talk of him going to maybe to Tennessee to be a starter until Vince Young is ready after the Steve McNair scenario kind of plays itself out there. So I think there's some veteran guys that as they start to fall into place, and, you know, if McNair is cut and then if Collins goes to Tennessee, the chips will start to fall in place elsewhere with all the veterans.
All right, well, rookie minicamp, they had 25 players under contract. Well, not necessarily signed, sealed, and delivered here. The draft picks obviously haven't signed, but they signed, in addition to the 10 draft picks, 15 undrafted free agents. Now, that was 25. That went up to 31 members of the Patriots that were actually in uniform. Six guys here on a tryout basis, Andy. Two of those six, Patrick Cobbs, Jakari Wallace, have subsequently been signed. Cobbs is a running back out of North Texas. Wallace, a wide receiver out of Minnesota, played with Lawrence Maroney, obviously the number one pick. I know that you don't know a tremendous amount of these guys, so I'll just ramble on a little bit. Just Cobbs was a highly productive guy, obviously at a lower level. I mean, it's a 1A school, North Texas, but not, you know, one of the power glamour conferences, obviously. Rushed for over 4,000 yards in college and 36 touchdowns. So this is a guy in 2003, I believe, led the nation in rushing. So he's been productive, but at 5'9", 205, perhaps, you know, maybe lacks the ideal size.
Well, you know, probably lacks the ideal size, the level of competition, those things that always hinder a guy like him. But he's clearly talented, and you're going to get to see him in the preseason. You know, these skill position guys, whether it's wide receivers, running backs, as the starters get out of there, they get a lot of showtime, two, three quarters, you know, in some of the preseason games. So you will see these guys. If they can open some eyes, you know, you get a spot on a practice squad, earns you another year with the team. And then, you know, who knows down the line, if you impress, you know, Kevin Falk getting older, Corey Dillon getting older, they don't have, you know, they obviously have the top pick. He is, you know, the franchise back of the future penciled in. But you don't necessarily have that next guy in line. And if one of, you know, a guy like Cobbs can impress, he could earn a year or two in the development process, and maybe he's your Kevin Falk in 2 years.
Right, and like I said, a lot of production did catch the ball a little bit, too, at North Texas. So there's a guy that, if he proves to be, you know, ready to step up into this level of competition, has the production that Belichick obviously likes. The wide receiver, also an undersized guy at 5'8", 170 pounds, real small guy.
Fits in here.
Jakari Wallace. Not a tremendous amount of production, only 40 catches for 603 yards, one touchdown with the Gophers. He made some, you know, just in talking about on-field performance, he kind of stood out a little bit, and for some of the reasons that Andy doesn't like, he wore the uniform number one.
Boo.
So right off the go, he was, you know, had two strikes against him in Andy Hart's world, but made some really nice catches, and from what I'm told, on Sunday, actually really stood out. Now, for me, it was all Dave Thomas and Chad Jackson in the passing game on Saturday. Tom was here on Sunday. He talked a lot about Wallace.
But those are the times when these guys have to shine to earn the chance to shine a little more in training camp. And wide receiver is one of those positions. You can be the seventh, eighth guy, spend a little time in the practice squad, an injury comes up, then you get called up to the, you know, the big squad for a game or two. You know, Bam Childress, you know, those types of guys come through here. Freddie Coleman a couple years ago. You can go from kind of an unknown, unproductive guy to getting on the roster and playing in a couple late season games. So, you know, this is the opportunity, and if they impress in these, it just earns them a little longer of a chance.
Right, and as we know, you need to have some just numbers for camp. You need to have guys being able to run pass patterns, be able to cover. You have a lot of defensive backs, a lot of wide receivers. Those are always staples at camp. So, just in closing here, Sam Smith, the safety out of Delaware State, he was kind of an interesting guy because of his kind of hybrid position. He had 13 and a half sacks last year, listed as a safety, played a lot of linebacker as well. Obviously not big enough to do that in the NFL. Probably will not get to find out, although you never know with Belichick. Guys kind of come and go as they please. Looks like right now that Smith is on the outside looking in, and Cobbs and Wallace are going to be here for those roster spots come at least June anyway, for June minicamp. But that's about it. So we're going to put a wrap on this edition. As we said, not a tremendous amount of roster activity going on. We will be back next week, May 26th, as we continue to look ahead to the full squad minicamp coming up in June. Until then, this will put a wrap on the Patriots Roster Report podcast for Friday, May 19th. Back to you, Bill.
Thanks, guys. Don't forget to check out the rest of Patriots.com for more Patriots news. We'll keep you updated throughout the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Remember to visit the online pro shop. We have a great clearance going on now that you're not going to want to miss. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!